This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
It is 12 minutes past four for your Tuesday drive home. Catfishing is described as the process of luring someone into a relationship by means of a fictional online persona. Maybe you've even seen the show Catfish on MTV. Well, what kinds of people tend to catfish? Here to tell us more is Senior Lecturer in Psychology at Federation University Australia, Dr. Avita March. Avita, welcome to Joy Drive.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. Avita, I explained a little in the intro, but what is catfishing exactly and how does it differ to other online scams?
You did. And your description was excellent. So I'll just pick up the main points. I mean, catfishing, how it differs to other online scams is typically the catfisher will go to great lengths to create either a fake profile or they will steal the identity of another person. And both cases have been known to happen. The other way that catfishing differentiates from perhaps other scams and phishing is that financial exploitation is actually not always the goal. And that's what makes it quite a creepy yet interesting behavior, in that they're not even looking all the time to financially scam somebody. So why are they doing this?
It is super interesting. And I will say I myself actually do and have watched Catfish, which is a show all about this. And it is interesting when you start to unpack people's motives behind why they've started catfishing. You've just actually done a study on catfishing. What were you looking to understand and get more info about?
Yeah, so this was a research study that a student researcher under my supervision led last year that we collaborated on. And we collected responses from nearly 700 people, Australians, online, where we were interested in what kind of personality traits were associated with the likelihood of perpetrating catfishing behaviors. Now, to assess catfishing, and there wasn't actually a measure that existed to assess this, it's quite an understudied area. So we developed a bunch of different items that assessed behaviors we consider are likened to catfishing. Things like, I create a fake profile online, or I have tried to scam somebody online before. So there were a whole range of items. And we were interested in what personality traits predicted the likelihood that somebody engaged in these behaviors.
You assessed participants against something called the dark tetrad. What's that?
The dark tetrad.
Tetrad. Okay, great.
Personality.
Firstly, I clearly don't know what it is because I don't know how to say it.
That's fine. I'll explain it to you. Not a problem. So the dark tetrad literally translates to the dark four, and it's the dark four personality traits. They're termed dark because they are considered to be antisocial, socially noxious personality traits. Now, these are assessed at a non-clinical level, so everyone has some degree of these traits, maybe not at a clinical level, but we all have some level. So these four traits include narcissism, so being egotistical, grandiosity, Machiavellianism, the likelihood that you're going to manipulate others, people who are high on this are quite strategic, psychopathy, so being callous and impulsive, lacking empathy. And finally, sadism, so taking some enjoyment in harming others. Now, I said that these are non-clinical, so we're looking at personality traits. So everybody has some level of narcissism. In fact, some level of narcissism can be quite healthy, having some ego, but it's at more of the clinical levels it becomes problematic.
We're chatting to Senior Lecturer in Psychology at Federation University Australia, Dr. Avita March, about the types of people who catfish. Avita, you've just mentioned that you assessed participants against the dark tetrad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we got it. And that, you know, most of the characteristics within these, you know, big four, we have a little element of in pretty much everyone. What did you find with people that also, you know, had a tendency to catfish.
So we thought that people who had higher levels of these traits, so what we did was we assessed people in a questionnaire that gives you a score on these traits. And we thought if you score higher on these traits, you're more likely to engage in some catfishing behaviors. And we found that generally the highest predictor of catfishing was, unsurprisingly, sadism. The more somebody enjoyed harming others, the more likely they were to engage in catfishing-related behaviors. We also found, though, that people higher on psychopathy and higher on narcissism were also likely to engage in more catfishing of others. But what was quite interesting was Machiavellianism wasn't significant. It wasn't a predictor of these catfishing behaviors. And that surprised us because that is the manipulative trait. So it gives us a bit of an insight into that psychology of why people are catfishing.
Yeah, that is interesting. Did you get an idea of what did motivate people that were catfishing? You know, we mentioned earlier that most catfishing, or, you know, not as much as other phishing scams, they're not motivated by monetary goals. Was there any indication of why people are doing this?
Well, unfortunately, we didn't ask why and motives, but if we have these significant personality traits, we can make some pretty good speculation as to why they may be doing this. So, for example, why somebody with high sadism might be catfishing is because they simply might enjoy harming somebody. Mm. Why somebody with high narcissism might be catfishing. Here we speculated that perhaps the ability to actually catfish people or to manipulate them, and particularly people who could be of higher status themselves, maybe this feels good to the narcissist. They're like, yes, that's an ego trip. I was able to manipulate somebody. But I think that that is an excellent follow-up study why they were doing this.
Do you think that that is where this is going to go? You know, having this information now, what can you do with this new information?
Look, I would really like to see more research in the area of psychology on catfishing because it is a growing concern. People more and more are experiencing this, and I don't think we fully appreciate the impact that being a victim survivor of these scams can actually have. The psychological impact, the lack of trust, the paranoia that can eventuate from these situations, I don't think it's receiving enough research attention. Where I would like this to go is more profiling of who is likely to do this, but also who is likely to perhaps be, or more likely to be, a victim of these kinds of scams.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of look at it from the other perspective as well. Speaking of, what should we be doing and looking out for online to avoid being the one that is catfished?
That is an excellent question. So I just wrote a piece for The Conversation where I flagged some signs or potential, let's say, red flags off a potential catfishing situation. So let's just really briefly go through some of these signs. Firstly, when a profile is too good to be true, they are good looking, they're rich, they're educated, they are ticking all of the boxes. Sometimes there's a reason why things are too good to be true. The second is if there's starting to be like vague, inconsistent responding, and this can be something always gets in the way of talking on the phone, something always gets in the way of being able to catch up in person. So this, something just doesn't feel right. But I mean, another big flag is eventually asking for money. Mm-hmm. That should be a big red flag. But I think, honestly, sometimes the best thing people can do is talk to somebody who's not involved in the situation. Talk to a friend or family member and get their insight, because sometimes we're just a bit too close to it to be objective. And then you could explain this to somebody else and they would say, wait, that's just not right.
Totally. Yeah, getting an outside perspective would be really important. Avita, also really important research. So thank you so much for taking the time to share it with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That's Senior Lecturer in Psychology at Federation University Australia, Dr. Avita March.
Joy Drive. We ask the questions so you don't have to.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.